We're good.
Yes.
Right. Always a guessing game. Welcome to episode 14 of the On the Bounce show. The Springboks did the double last week against the All Blacks, and in doing so have given us an endless array of talking points, which we're going to share with you this week. Obviously, on the field and off the field, we had a quiet hucker, which was pretty cool, and it was just a small little ask. But now people are also bitching about ticket prices. We just can't win ever, can we? But enough about that. Of course, the Premier League is back this week as well, so Arsenal get to win. Man United get to play. We've also got the PSL to preview. We got the new Champions League to preview as well. We're going to catch up on what's happening in AFCON. And then UFC takes place in Vegas, in the Sphere at UFC 306. Plus, we got the Azerbaijan street circuit in Baku for the Formula One. Whew, I'm pretty exhausted just going through the intro. But I got to introduce you to the rest of the team. Of course, on my left is Sandile, Drake, Shangaz.
Yes, sir. Yazerski, we're back in business. I get to wear a real football jersey. So we're back. Let me do the honors and introduce you to the James and check out his clean set.
Check out his Liverpool layer. It's like his evil Liverpool layer.
If I knew this was happening, I would have worn a Liverpool shirt also. But now we're Juve and Liverpool. This is my bedroom. Welcome.
Yeah, that look. Don't tell girls that's your bedroom. I mean, you will get no Lego for the rest of your 20s if that's how you roll, bro. Okay, we'll get straight into it. So, everything about the All Blacks Springbok game was just perfect, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be Cape Town. Now, there hasn't been a great track record in Cape Town as far as the All Blacks, the Springboks winning. There also haven't been too many games. And this was the first time it was ever going to be at Cape Town Stadium.
Yeah.
So, I liked the Ellis Park experience, I thought it was really cool. If you go to Loftus, it's also a really cool experience. But Cape Town is like a first world. It's clean, it's fresh, it's beautiful. There's less smell of piss. It's just a great place to watch rugby. Yeah. And everyone I know went to it, thought it was incredible. All the shots on Supersport, it was like, this is the greatest rugby ground on earth. Yeah. And then when the All Blacks went to go do the haka, the usual doers were about to go ole, ole, ole. I could hear, it was beautiful. It was just, It was beautiful. So, you know, one of the reasons that we spoke about this last week is that it's a sign of respect, but also it's a sign of maturity that we can actually see this challenge. So, Harry Jones, one of my new favorite podcasts, he does the Lekker Rugby Pod with another guy whose name escapes me currently. He said, like, it's not just a sign of respect. It's a sign that you're not scared. It's a sign of confidence when you let the opposition challenge you like that
and do whatever they want to do.
I know I've spoken about this far too much, but did you enjoy that? Did you feel this was a cool spectacle?
Oh, you remember I told you about the theatrics of rugby, and like I said, we're going to talk about it later about the ticket price for this. A lot of people aren't going to watch a million Springbok games against, you know, the All Blacks. So getting a first timer to see that live is such a, you know, a rugby moment. So for me, I'm glad that we got everything right, including this flyover, you know, including everything else. For me, you know, the theatrics of rugby always win. That's what brings the drama into the show. So I'm glad we got to enjoy it and we got it right.
And I didn't notice this at Ellis Park, but last year I interviewed Sibusiso Kotelo. He's a bodybuilder.
Yeah,
he's now the main Zulu Oak.
Oh, he's the one who runs out to Tsia.
He's the most stacked guy in the whole world. I mean, he's a world champion bodybuilder. He's like 130 kilograms, body percentage of like body fat of like 5 or 6.
Yeah.
He's about 6'2", absolute unit. And that amazing photo, there he is with his spear. And Sia's right coming out. Him. And then I put it on Instagram now. And then there's Sia coming out. And then there's a whole All Black lineup just cucking themselves.
Yeah, man. That was, see, those are the moments of theater that we're talking about.
Absolutely.
And if we have ole ole and our typical drunk dudes trying to mess that up for us, you miss those moments. And that was so iconic as well, because it's about the challenge as well from, you know, our end. You know, we saw the iconic where James Small and them moved up, you know. And if you're so distracted about all of this other stuff, you miss those moments. So I'm glad we respected it. And it's also about something that we can prove to them. So that was a dope moment.
It really was. So, I mean, obviously you watched the game. I was at a bachelor party this week in George.
Yeah.
And we were at a place. It was really, really cool. It was great because you get to sit with all like the local tannies and ooms. And this one tanny was just giving Villy gears the whole time. It was so funny to hear. No, man, fuck Villy. Yeah, so out. It was brilliant. It was just
our main job as South Africa is to get Vili to 100.
Exactly.
Forget about everything else. Look, main job. So what, as you'd say.
She had a rock set 1980s haircut. I was not going to mess with her. But yes, we must as a nation.
Yeah.
Where was I going with that?
I wanted to say, let me bail you out there. What an ugly game of rugby compared to the first one. I
kind of always was going to be, though.
Just a knock-on fest. I'm happy we won, but a knock-on fest. It felt very sloppy from both sides. I think the adrenaline pump from, you know, Ellis Park coming into this one just didn't feel clinical. You know, it was a hard game to watch. A lot of drop balls, a lot of oohs and ahs, a lot of like, why did you miss that tackle? So that was my major takeout. Take the win out. It was a hard fought win.
Yeah, sure. Have it.
But in terms of entertainment value, I was just like, coming off that great test, it was a bit of a like.
But don't you think, and this kind of applies, this goes into one of the talking points I wanted to share with you, because, yeah. I mean, ultimately, we watched the game. This is where I was going with that, and I got derailed by a drunk Tony. You know, there's a lot of great podcasts that do the aftermath games on a Monday.
Yeah.
And I always feel like when we talk about the stuff on the Thursday, like a lot kind of settles. There's like a lot more water under the bridge, and you can have a more sober kind of take on that.
Yeah.
Says two oaks on a couch with a beer.
Yeah, with a beer.
But what I looked at that again about that game, it's like that game plan that we keep talking about and how our forwards are in different places. We were nowhere at the breakdown. And even if the ref is 10% involved there, we're still a bit vulnerable.
Yeah.
And that first half, and we didn't control the game. And then eventually we had to do what we always do, maul, control, direct rugby. Eventually we won it because we're always going to win it.
Yeah.
My biggest takeout, and again, I'd love to hear what you think about this. My biggest takeout from these last two test matches is that this was the time that we could have absolutely trousered these Oaks. That isn't a great All Black team. And I know I'm taking nothing away from the fact we beat the All Blacks four times in a row now. That is amazing. But if you look at that All Black team and you think, when do we ever get the chance to properly run through these Oaks? And we did what we always generally do. We turned big wins into tight contests.
For me, that's a champion.
Is it a champion? Or
it's a champion.
We
trouser teams, all of them. You just make sure you win. I don't know what is wrong with us, but we're in an adjustment period. We've always said, you know, you've got a lot of veterans that are about to exit out the Springbok program. We've got Tony Brown Ball now. How do we now
make it? I'm glad you now call it Tony Brown Ball because some of it was shit.
Yeah. Tony Brown Ball mixed with, you know, our good old, as I call it, Blue Bulls rugby. And we're still finding the medium ground. The fact that we can still win games through that is super amazing.
Cool. Amazing. Amazing. So, you know, another reason why I want to bring that up is that people keep saying, is this the greatest Springbok team of all time? Oh, Michaela, don't worry about that. That's a time-lapse camera. We're totally fine. Sorry, there was a noise in the studio after last week. Everybody's very nervous. Yeah, that's cool. I'll just make it. People are talking about the fact, like, is this the greatest Springbok team? And you look at the opposition and go, guys, this team is phenomenal. It's done the most. It'll continue to even more.
Yeah.
But I've been this week, I was going through the best streaks, winning streaks of all time. And you look at the truly amazing All Black teams. And I think that we're not quite there yet because we should have. And again, I almost feel like ungrateful saying this right now.
You're about to say something crazy.
I just think that there should have been greater margins on these games. And that is my only sad point. That's it.
For me, it's the back-to-back World Cups and now it's going to be the Rugby Championship. We kind of feel like it's over the line now, unless, you know, Argentina does the work on us, which we probably will discuss at some point. But for me, it's the greatest Springbok club. I mean, Springbok team. There's so many players who didn't get a play, who are walking into so many other nations, you know, and the depth of this team. And it doesn't feel like we're going to lose any ground anytime soon. I feel like with the golfing class between now and the next World Cup, between us and everyone else, we could three-peat. We could, you know, go back-to-back rugby championship.
So maybe to answer my own question then, maybe it is the greatest Bok team, but we're not going to get the results that we might have thought with greatness. What makes this Bok team so great, as you say, there's guys who aren't playing right now, who play anywhere, but they will be used when their time is needed.
So is for you, and I just probably going to throw you off, is the margin of victory taking it away for the greatness?
Because it's like a little bit of shine.
Just a little bit. Which nation, and I don't know if we can pick it up, who beats the All Blacks four times in a row?
Zero. Nobody.
So, And then who goes back-to-back world champions? Who probably goes, you know, rugby championship? We want to beat them by 100 points. I hate them too.
It's an asterisk All Black team, though. And again, people keep saying All Blacks, All Blacks, All Blacks. Damien McKenzie's shite. He's a Super Rugby player, okay? This whole team is Super Rugby based. They've got their best players. Some of them are playing overseas and they're not allowing them to play.
Yeah.
That whole back line, you know, again, going back to this guy I was telling you about, Harry Jones, he made a very good point to say, when you're at the ground, you watch that Springbok team. Everybody scrambles in defense because they play for each other.
Yep.
Everyone's talking. You can hear Vili the whole game telling Oaks where to go because they're constantly thinking about stuff. He said that entire All Black back line,
quite
nothing. They don't say a word. They wait for front football and they wait to do primary things.
Mm.
This isn't a great All Black team when we know this right now. I am so fascinated as to what's going to happen between them and Australia now to put a couple of things into perspective for us.
And we've been talking about this for length throughout these rugby championships, is that Super Rugby's in it. This is a big indictment on Super Rugby.
Absolutely.
They have got to go fix that because Australia being ninth, which is probably the worst ranking they ever had, below Italy, being spanked in Argentina, and they got spanked.
That was crazy.
That was crazy. And they were up 17 points. It was a 7-point, you know, difference. Super Rugby's got to make the adjustment. And I think this is going to be a big thing now. They realize that they're far behind everybody else. And, you know, I was seeing a tweet where they were talking about the Australians complaining against why we let them go and why did New Zealand say we must fuck off from Super Rugby. And this is exactly what the reason was.
If I was the Aussies, I would be pissed off about that.
Yeah, I think they've got to make an adjustment as those governing bodies.
So it is interesting, and you alluded to it there, is that if you look at the Rugby Championship log right now, obviously 1 and 2, SA way ahead than Argentina with a mathematical chance, if we completely shit the bed from here, of winning.
Yeah.
And then we've got Super Rugby at 3 and 4.
Yeah.
So Argentina, predominantly European-based. Oaks, essentially European and Japanese-based.
Yeah.
So Super Rugby should not be guarded. I think what they're trying to do is like, you guys must play Super Rugby to play international rugby.
Yeah.
Do not guard Super Rugby. Super Rugby doesn't care about you. Super Rugby ain't loyal.
Yeah.
They must look and be more mature about this, and they've got the best possible opportunity for the Northern Hemisphere tour.
Yeah.
New Zealand, okay, so we play Wales, Scotland, England. Cool, not credible. New Zealand play Ireland, France, and England.
I think Wales at this stage of the game, I think Wales is going to New Zealand and wiping the floor with them and Australia. Man. The way, you know, Australia have been so shy.
Australia beat Wales preseason, but that's not important.
Yeah.
I think these Oaks have got to be mature enough to say, like, we've given this a run. Super Rugby's actually pretty shite, but it is what it is. It's still a tournament, much like the Currie Cup's still a tournament, just like the NPC is still a tournament, just like whatever it is.
Yeah.
Cool, have it. But understand, you need to build your top end. And when you got guys like Brody Retallick, Shannon Frizzell, I mean, they've got guys coming through in the forward ranks, but those two players alone give you so much ground and structure. Yeah. You've got to get Richie Munga back in there. Darren McKenzie's got to go back to being depth at best.
Yeah. And I think for me is, sorry, before we get super, super into this thing, the adjustment of New Zealand rugby is a big issue now. They're being killed in the front rows. We know as a back heavy team, as an enterprising team, they have been amazing throughout the years. But now we're seeing that people have been onto them for a very long time. And so, they're not releasing enough talent for them to now catch up to us and catch up to, you know, anybody who's adjusted to them. And that's, for me, what I've been seeing throughout these past two games. And it's something that, you know, all the New Zealand podcasters are complaining about, and especially Justin Marshall is like, why are we going 5-3 split when we know these guys are coming through with all these big forwards in the last 20 minutes? I mean, the last game, in the last 20 minutes, they didn't score a point. And these are the issues that New Zealand rugby is going through. A lack of adjustment, lack of, you know, trying new things. Maybe go a 7-1 split and try meet our forwards. Maybe, it gives them more of a fighting chance. But until they adjust and they think they're going to outrun us, they're in some trouble.
So I think Sonny Bill Williams kind of put it best. He said that the Springboks have worked out that they need the best 23 on the day, and none of your starting props finish the game.
Yep.
So the last thing I will say in a technical rugby aspect around the All Blacks is that they've actually shown they've got a pretty good front row. I think they did bloody well in Cape Town, but I think Tyrell Lomax being held on for the whole game, you got a lazy shoulder charge on Cheslin, yellow card penalty. key moment there. But I mean, the rest of that forward pack is actually pretty good. If you look, sorry, the rest of the front row is actually really, really good, but they just do not have the depth in the locks and the loose forwards to come on.
Yeah. The last thing I want to talk about that New Zealand game, the referee was pretty fucking shite. I mean, there's some tackles where, I mean, our guy was up and he flew right through him, didn't call a penalty or didn't get a yellow. And we've seen those stuff being given. I don't know. It felt like he, look, there's two sides to this. I felt like it was unfair towards us. Some people felt like it was great entertaining. Let the game flow. So I was just like, it's got to be two sides to this, guys. He was pretty shy. Then maybe I'm just being a South African about this, but I felt like he was pretty shy.
I just feel like, I know rugby is a weird game with many weird rules and interpretations, but there was just so many inconsistencies around the refs. Exactly. And the week before wasn't great either. So obviously the All Blacks go home now. They have a game for and against, or sorry, home and away, across the ditch, as they say down there, or the ditch. Whereas we go to Argentina for one game and then come back to Mbombela. It is Mbombela.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so what Rusty's done is he's rested a few key guys. You know, we're talking about game plan. We've been talking about game plan for many, many episodes here, and how it's so much looser and faster. And I don't think it's actually really benefiting some of the stalwarts, as in, like, Bongi is now looking pretty slow. You can't keep running Peter Steph in the wide channels.
Yeah.
The big guys are actually starting to struggle a little bit here. So Bongi's having a rest. Francois Herbert, Peter Steph's a toy. Sasha's having a rest here. Damien de Allende is getting a rest. Best backline player in the world. Chesney's getting a rest, as is Vili. And then just on today, Grant Williams will be injured. He's not going to Argentina. Mornay van den Berg is going to cover his spot.
Well deserved.
And one little thing there. I've been calling for Grant to start the whole way through, right? Yeah. I want to see him and Sasha go. It was so odd in that I feel like he isn't actually a starting scrum off.
Really?
There's something about his delivery, and I'm sure he was cucked on at halftime about taking an extra step before he passes.
And like not using it.
There is something. Look, I said it again. I hate to keep recapping. Jaden Hendricks is our number one guy. Fuff's going to be the backup to close a game, and Grant will be utility back going forward. Because I don't think he's crisp enough as a primary scrum off. He's an amazing playmaker and utility in the last 20.
Yeah.
I don't think Grant Williams starts another test match.
I think, and that was the game for him to showcase his skills.
Was.
And he kind of, I felt like he blew it. I mean, use it, and he didn't use it. And then they called against him, and I was like, come on, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So, look, we can go into a whole bunch of other stuff here, but I'm always worried that we make this show a little bit too rugby heavy, because we've got some really cool football stuff on the go. Tomorrow on the Gareth Cliff Show, if you are watching us live, tomorrow on the Gareth Cliff Show, we're going to touch on this whole ticket price thing. And I think where people miss the point, which for a lot of people on X is kind of, you know, their modus operandi, is that to understand how SARU is as a business and understand how that works and understand how the Springboks get to leverage certain moments financially is to understand why ticket prices are the way they are. And I think it's so small-minded and so selfish and so, like, just immature to basically say that a box ticket should be $100. Everyone should get a chance. You make $100, they'll be scalped for $1,000 before you even know it. We'll get into that tomorrow in the Gareth Cliff Show. I think it's a better place to actually have it. AFCON over the weekend. Bafana, late theatrics. I mean, should we be worried? I know that we're currently on top of Group K with
We're tied for first. We're minus one on goal difference. Not minus. We're behind one goal against Uganda on goal difference. We're tied. Look, I think don't panic.
Because that's what I was kind of asked. Like, do we, don't we? Because to go to South Sudan, get a sneaky win at the end.
So the one thing that is a big, you know, showcase about what happened, you know, in the past two games is we missed the skill and leadership of Ronwin Williams. We leaked cheap goals where we would have never leaked cheap goals.
Good point.
We will be okay. You know, once that leadership gets back, I didn't think it was going to be that bad, but, you know, the first game we leaked two goals where we weren't meant to. You know, South Sudan, we leaked goals that we weren't meant to. Bumpy road. But we'll take being first. Rodman's going to come back in. We will close it out, guys. Don't worry. But the one thing I want to talk about, and he's probably not going to get as much credit as he should, Talente Mbata bailed us out for two games in a row. Clinical scorer.
So that's the greatest name for a young talent.
Yeah, I'm like, Talente, thank God. Because had we drawn against South Sudan, I would have been saying something completely different. I would have been like, oh shit, here we go again. It's also, I think, at the back, Hugo Bruce has got to get it together. He's got to understand that we're leaking goals. As much as I want to blame the keeper, sometimes keeper and defense, you've got to be aligned. And
well, keeper guiding defense into right positions, exactly. Right? Pulling a Vili to actually use a bit of a crossover there.
So I think for us, guys, don't worry, we'll get through it. We're lucky. But sometimes you got to take some luck in sport. So we'll be good. AFCON qualifiers are happening. What I did enjoy is stadium was foolish, you know, and we talk about ticket prices. There's like $30, $60. I don't know how Safa's running that ship there. But, you know, the stadium was foolish. And I love the fact that, you know, throughout our sports, we're going back to supporting, you know, whether it's pro tiers, even though we have our politics about the pro tiers, whether it's pro tiers, whether it's Bafana, whether it's the Springboks, people are now going consciously because we're in a winning environment now. And that's all South African wants, you know, a winning environment, and Bafana tied for first, and we're going to come and close it out.
You know, there's a great phrase in investing saying that a rising tide rises all ships. Oof. I hope I got that right.
I really do too.
That is where you would hope that, like, this Gies around the box, around Drikus, yeah. Guys are running the field going, this is our time. This is our title fight. This is our kind of stuff. And I always feel like with Bafana, like, they need a couple of results to return the tide here. Like, we're pushing paper around a little bit here. We should be putting these teams away. As much as I was saying that the box need a bigger margin, sometimes these Oaks have actually got to say, you know what, we're shutting the team out today. 2-0.
Yeah, I 3-1. Mean, but for me, it's, you know, we have so much, you know, issues with Bafana in the past of dropping things. The fact that they're winning games, the fact that they're being consistent, yeah, the fact true. That they've kept the coach,
not
the fact
losing.
Like there's a system that's going on. And he said he's going to ride this until we get to the World Cup. That's his goal. I'm for it. Let's not panic yet. People draw games every day.
Okay, so this weekend we got the PSL.
Let's do it. So big PSL season upon us. Before I start talking about teams, I think this is an exciting, probably one of the most exciting seasons for the PSL. We've got a big investment from that other company into the PSL.
No, Betway done well there.
Okay, Betway deal well. It's almost R1 billion sponsorship. And that is one of the biggest, you know, sponsorship in the country for that. It's going to be a big showcase of our league. You know, we've got teams now that aren't really so worried about their financial security now. You know, we can really express ourselves. And that's also going to start trickling into our national team. And I think that's a big...
Oh, absolutely.
That's going to be great such point. A big thing. And outside of that, it's going to build our academies. It's going to build, you know, all our systems getting through, which is the big thing that rugby has been able to do. So for me, for the PSL this season, I'm super, super excited about that. Now getting into some of the team analysis. We've got Sundowns. I'm going to talk about them first. You know, in the past, we've always said Sundowns is going to run away with the league.
Because they have.
Because they have. And you know, when I say run away, these people have won the league by like 15 to 20 points, which is like unthinkable.
But they've also won the league with like 2 months to spare.
Yeah,
for 7 years straight.
For 7 years straight, which is absolutely terrible for the PSL. And I've always said that. But this season, coming off just watching, and we've been watching it on the MTN 8, is that they don't feel as formidable as they've always done. Rulani's gone. Pizza's gone. Coach Mangomba, it looks like they're not buying into it. They didn't score two goals. In the first and second leg of the MTN. So what is happening now? Are players switching off? Are players aging through the system? These are things that we're starting to ask about, you know, Sundowns. So I don't think they're going to run away with it. Even worse, they've got to go play Super Sport in the 20 Derby first game. And if they don't come out on the right side of that, a lot of more questions are going to be asked.
Because
that means three games have been dropped, which is probably hasn't happened in the past 7 years.
And even if it's a different tournament, it's still three games. You know, like big teams are always scrutinized and there'll always be expectation around this. I mean, just like when I was name dropping last week about playing golf with Darren Keats, and he said teams are lining up to play them now.
Yeah. And I think for me, what's going to be a big test for Sundowns again, they're going deep into Africa. They're going back into the CAF. So another test of this team's grit. Are they going to be able to get through all the domestic tournaments and get into CAF? So it's going to be a big issue for them. I think they're not as formidable as they've been in the past. I, you know, will stand to be, you know, corrected on that.
Squad-wise, though, I mean, do they at least have the players that if they get a galvanizing factor that comes in, whether it's like a 2-0 win this week or the coach maybe is a bit nicer?
For me, it's the buy-in. It kind of feels like, and this is what the rumblings have been around the Sundowns change, is that they didn't need to get rid of Rulani. And if you got rid of Rulani, just don't do anything different. This is a team that dominated the league for 7 years, dominated Africa for 7 years. But it feels like every management guy who comes in, you know, we always got to stamp my authority. This is my team. I want to move away from Rulani and Pito's direction. And it's kind of, you know, it's been seen that they're not buying in. So the big issue is, are they going to buy into Coach Mangoba? And the Sundowns way is, you've got to kind of be a winning coach. Is he going to make it to the middle of the season? And yeah. I highly doubt he's going to do that. And if he makes it to the middle of the season or doesn't make it to the middle of the season, who do you now bring in to stabilize the ship? Because we've never seen it in Sundowns history.
Steve Compella, just give him. He's like the Sam Allardyce of the PSL. Bring him back.
Who's hitting?
What happens if they do replace the manager midway through the season? For a team to do 7 years straight of a title win, to have a manager replaced probably for the first time in a long time midway through a season, what does it do for players, club? Because that's an impact definitely for players, right?
100%. It's going to be very interesting, because the one thing about the Sundowns, you know, structure and has always been backing a coach, backing a system, and it kind of feels like they're not gelling.
Not at the moment.
And also, it'll be huge culture change if they fire somebody in the middle of the system, because you know, they've backed coaches for 4 to 5, you know.
But that's just it. Like, they're not a fire the manager kind of.
Yeah, so they
team.
Might.
Exactly. That's what shittier teams do. Yeah, that's so a massive load.
United, like,
you know? It's like, I'm about to talk like about the local version of that, but don't worry. Another exciting team that I am hate to say that I have to talk about, and Ben's bit on it, and my dad said when I come today I have to talk about it. Pirates. I think Pirates is going to be the dark horse to win with the PSL this season. They've been incredible in the MTN 8. They're going to defend it, hopefully. Or as my dad says, hopefully.
Well, of course they will. Moses will be the final. Pirates win.
Yeah, just
sands through the hourglass. Right? Yeah.
And they're now giving that Rude Crawl energy when Rude Crawl came in and won, you know, 2 trebles, and they're just running with a different steam and mystique. So I have Pirates really as a strong, strong contender for, you know, Sundowns this season. I really think they're going to lead the pack. Once again, coming off this weekend, we'll see, or in midweek next week, is what are they going to show, you know? And it's a very, very exciting season. If you're a Pirates fan, you're going to go deep into the season, and hopefully, you know, you break the seven seasons of these guys bloody winning this thing. The last team. I want to talk about Stellenbosch before I talk about that team. Stellenbosch was incredible last season in the league. They've run deep again into MTN 8. Everybody talks about Pirates winning. I think if Stellenbosch win the MTN 8, it's a huge, huge congratulations to that program. They've really developed that team. They've developed the structures. They feel like they're formidable now. And I very quickly, and I think that they're going to be absolutely sensational if they continue to develop off that. So a team to watch out for that.
They're one of those teams that you can just see. They've had the right trajectory.
Yep.
It's not like they had a little bit of money. It's like, we're going to be champions. I think they were playing quite a long game there, which is always good.
And they just invested in a plan. Yep. You know, hiring and firing coaches has never worked for anybody. So they've just backed their system and backed their plans. So I'm excited for them. And the last team I want to talk about in the PSL, because I have to.
Seka Kuna United.
No
yes,
way.
That's my guys.
I want to talk about Kaizer Chiefs. Chiefs supporters, I want to tell you, this is going to be a great.
Chiefs supporters, they're all like this. They're like, in the corners.
The one thing I want to say is, there's nothing, you know, everybody's like, what's going to happen this season? Any pressure? Don't think we have any pressure, because there's nothing worse. You know, when you've played dog shit for, you know, one season, you really don't have any pressure of being great. You can only bounce back. I think everybody doesn't have high hopes for Chiefs, so it's the first time they're playing with a lot less pressure. They're going to just figure it out. They've got a new coach, a new system. So Chiefs fans, let's just, you know, buckle in. If we make it into the top eight, cool. If we don't, just relax. We're here to figure it out. Don't put too much pressure on us. We're not going to compete for a league. Let's just, you know, let's play, you know, all those games of football. So don't stress. Don't stress yourselves about it.
Do you think it's fair to say that it's not so much that Chiefs are cuck? It's just that everyone got a bit better.
No, like, they're shit.
I'm trying to give your team something. They're fucking terrible.
And I fucking love that team. But the last thing I really, really want. Oh, they fucking shit, bro.
You never swore until you came onto the show. I'm like episode three onwards.
Yeah, now you're gonna be a pirate already. I think what's important about what's about to happen is that it feels like there is a resurgence of competitive nature in the PSL.
Yes.
There's new blood coming in. There's so many teams now who have Stellenbosch. You know, you have Pirates who are going to make it a really competitive thing. And that's all.
Sekhukhune,
as well, as you keep on wanting to mention. And
dark horses in this thing.
And dark horses. And Sundowns isn't as formidable. I think that is the big thing. And we're going to compete for the length of the season. That's what's exciting. And all the investment. And it's really a great season that's ahead of us.
Chiefs also brought in a new coach this season, didn't they?
That's what I said. Like, so one thing about Chiefs, every 3 months there's going to be a new somebody. So welcome to the good life. If you're a coach, just go to Chiefs and make a quick bag.
This is an African football thing, because you see it along like the AFCON as well. So they have these coaches that look like they were on those ETV late night movies like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Because they all look like they were good looking guys in the day. They've got like a bit of a French twang to them. They've got a little bit of a cosmopolitan vibe to them.
Are they out here?
Okay, so look, I'm not going to badge you anymore about Chiefs. I had a couple of other questions, but I think you were so forthright with what you think about them. Champions League is coming up next week, of course. So obviously the Premier League's back this week. We'll get to that in a second. But next week, the Champions League fixtures take place from Tuesday.
Yeah. So big change up in the Champions League. If you're a traditionalist like me, you're unsure. But guys, it's over. There is a new format. It's called the Swiss model. It's a league format. And I'm just going to break down a couple of the things that's happening.
What is the Swiss model? It means they got holes in it, like the cheese.
Wow.
Or is it very financially efficient?
Crazy part is that's all they're doing. They want it to be more financially efficient for UEFA. That's all the justifications they've given. So we're expanding from 32 to 36 teams. Single league system format. Hectic, my laptop died on the middle of the show.
Do it off the top of your brain, son. So I got this.
Okay, so that's what I really like, right? I like this whole single league thing. So we got up to 36 teams, but there's four seeding pots.
Yeah, bro.
This is what I really like. The four seeding pots means that these folks are going to be playing games all the time, and everything has some sort of high stakes to it. There's nothing worse than you see the top two teams, and then you get like Galatasaray or Shakhtar Donetsk or something. Mm-hmm. And some of those games don't have a lot going for it. Whereas four of the games are going to be home. Four of them are going to be away.
Yeah.
And that what that really does for me, looking at that thing, how the log sits down in a single league thing, is that the fluctuations in points are going to be so interesting.
What's also going to be super interesting is that, you know, you got the top eight teams going through. And then you've got, you know, everybody else fighting it off in a playoff round type of system.
Okay, wait, sorry. We've got to just do the math here quickly. Yeah. So the top eight go through to the round of 16. Okay.
And then we've got 9 to 24 fighting it out in a two-legged playoff system.
Yes.
And I think that makes it more exciting. You know, that's another thing that's going to make it more exciting. And then we've got eliminations, as we've said, playoff system. And
I feel you should take a bit more time with this. It's on the screen there. Yeah.
Because my laptop died mid-fucking doing.
That's cool. Flex has got your back here.
Yeah.
So like top eight teams, we kind of know where they're going to be. The fact that the bottom eight teams previously they would go into the UEFA
Europa League.
Europa League.
Yeah.
Now they just go home, which is also kind of cool, right?
But I think that it's kind of shite. But
no, because
I'm being a traditionalist about it. Like, we've moved on.
Once you're in the UEFA League, you should like that should be your hood.
Yeah.
You should. You know, it's like, well, I didn't come right at the bar, so I'm going to go home, and then there's like a lighty party to get into. So now this 9 to 24 playoff round for me is very intriguing, because the whole thing that I've said from this, what makes it so cool, is that there's high stakes throughout.
Yeah, 100%.
And that playoff round in the middle there, because I'm thinking as an Arsenal fan, might be there.
No, I think you're going through. I've seen the draw. The top teams are going to go through. And I think that's going to make it super exciting. I like, you know, like I said, a lot of the traditional elements of me, I've got to get away from it, because this is what we're doing. The 19 to 24, and if this was last season, Man United would have been able to
9 to 24.
They can fight through it, you know, and that makes it more competitive, more exciting, a kind of second bite at the cherry for you being kind of shite, you know. So that's going to be super exciting. I am not sure about the expanded format. I'm just like, just feel like I'm a serial person against change.
Okay, I'm not for the World Cup expanded format.
Yeah.
It's just too much.
Yeah.
Because it hasn't so much as expanded format. Mm-hmm. It's just there's more teams doing the same thing.
Right.
At least here, more teams doing something different. And that's what I like about it.
Yeah.
They're expanding, but they're also evolving.
100%.
I never thought I'd care this much about the analytics around this.
That's crazy.
But that to me is actually really, really cool. But as you say, again, with so much confidence, which I'm going to back you as a football expert on the show,
yeah,
you reckon the top teams are going through. And when you say the top teams are going through, who's your top four that basically everyone is either trying to win, like beat in the preliminaries or not get in the playoffs?
So I think what I'm going to go through into my favorites to win it all. I know I'm probably jumping the gun there, but for me, I have Real Madrid. As per usual, we know that the UEFA Champions League, whatever format you bring it in, they've done it historically for years. I think now them adding Kylian Mbappe, you do not want to face them. They're just going to spank you around. They've built so much depth in that team. So that is probably going to be the favorite, as you know, per usual. They're going to be the favorite. And it's crazy. I'm backing my enemies so much throughout this episode. Arsenal, for me, are my dark horse to go very deep and probably contest. I think Mikel Arteta has built a system now where he has to kind of click over. So next to Real Madrid, I have another team you don't want to play is Arsenal. Obviously, I have Pep Guardiola as also a strong, strong favorite. And for me, looking at Haaland's form in the past three games, he's already dropped two hat-tricks. I think he's already trying to take over the mantle. Said Kevin De Bruyne, I can see you're going to be out of here soon, so I have to be the guy. And, you know, Pep is built for that, you know, that winning mentality. And, Ben, I wanted to say this, and I really wanted to say this on the Champions League thing. I think Bayern Munich are going to make a strong resurgence on the back of Harold Kane.
I think it's a fair call. Yeah. It's a fair call. They couldn't have the same season again.
But I think, look.
Unless literally Harry Kane needs voodoo. Because he couldn't be that much of a curse.
And then for me, there are other teams like Bayern Leverkusen. What does Xabi Alonso do now? Does he really, really compete?
Yeah, I think it's like an Atletico Madrid kind of thing. They were great for that one season. And then a plateau.
I think they've got to make a deep run. I think they're strong enough to do it. And also, they've been so great. I think I like Bayern Leverkusen. And then there are other little hoodoo teams that are going to be tough to compete against. James, I'm going to mention Liverpool.
I was waiting for what's so far down on the list?
I'm going to mention Liverpool.
On a slot ball's doing the things, huh?
He's right. Wow. So I think that's you know, for me, you know, the teams that are going to be super, super exciting. James, I can see you wanted to say something to me.
I do. I want to take you back to Arsenal. I don't know about Arsenal too much, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think what separates Arsenal and City and your other choices is that those are two teams or three teams that have they have a full squad, they've got a bench, and they can manage with all of these fixtures. I don't know if Arsenal have much of a bench or much of a second team squad to be able to handle this
competition. Because Arsenal are winning the Premier League this year. They can't do both.
Wow.
Wow.
I've been saying this the whole time.
Wow.
They're going to beat Spurs 5-1 this weekend and announce themselves as Premier League contenders. They're not winning the Champions League. So I agree with you on that.
No, I think so. It's also a bigger competition this year.
It's also a bigger competition, and the big teams have been relatively split.
Yeah.
So we really are going to get the big teams running deeper into the tournament. You know, Arsenal's main issue is that they go win, you know, their group, and then they go play Real Madrid.
Exactly.
You know, and then
Bayern Munich.
Or Bayern Munich. You know, they are going to get Bayern Munich and get their ass kicked again, you know, by Harold Kane. But, you know, we'll catch it deeper into the run. So those are my favorites. But I also have like little guys who are probably going to step up. PSG, they can do nothing more than have to play deeper now because the distraction of Kylian Mbappe is gone.
They've got Osman Dembele, and that's about
they've
it.
Got, right now. And you know what? That team was good already. Mm. I think now the distraction is gone, but for me, it just seems that Real Madrid adding Kylian Mbappe, adding the Brazilian brew in, they're going to be so good. And Jude Bellingham, Vinicius, Lucas around still.
Dude, like,
they've built a team that's probably going to dominate Europe for the next 5 or 6 years. So But I've said this before, it's giving me Galacticos, and Galacticos absolutely never won a Champions League at their powers. Yeah, you know, they never won. The original Galacticos never won. They picked it up towards the end. You know, Ronaldo never won a Champions League with Real Madrid, which is crazy thought.
Wow.
Yeah.
They have built a good team there, though. Young players also. They also want to look at getting Trent, which would make me quite. If they get Trent, they've completed the
transfer window is coming to an end. Leave your securities at home.
So Premier League returns this weekend. We got some great fixtures in that. It's the North London Derby, one of the greatest derbies in all of sports.
Is it really?
And they're normally quite high scoring. They're normally quite exciting. I've been busy this week on Superbets, by the way, on this match alone. I'm like 4 or 5 bets running on this. So Arsenal don't come through, you might not see me for a few weeks. But honestly, Man United versus Southampton, is this the perfect game to come back after?
Ben,
don't want to take any more bets.
I want to say something. I've been in an ice bath, and I had to wear a Liverpool jersey. As I said about Chiefs in the first segment, you cannot be worse than horseshit. So it's the perfect time just for a clinical 3-0.
Just to say, once you hit the bottom, you can.
Yeah, you know, like all those old adage. Yeah, you know, bounce back. We have to, we have to do it. I think if Ten Hag drops another game, it's going to be a lot of trouble. So, Man United fans, please let's back our boys. We're like the Australia of the EPL right now. We just do nothing, and you just back your team.
It's not the greatest weekend for the English Premier League in that, that's the obviously like the big game. Spurs versus Arsenal Sunday at 3. Man United away to Southampton. Liverpool, James Yorks are at home to Nottingham Forest.
Man City wipe the floor.
Man City versus Brentford. Chelsea are away to Bournemouth. It's not the greatest weekend for that. So I want to go swiftly into the Formula One. So I know we've been talking recently about, you know, we have such amazing weekends here in Joburg because we get the Heineken race Sundays. So this weekend they are back.
Yeah.
So if you're at the Baron and Irini, go along. The race Sundays are great because you get to obviously have a few Heinekens, watch the race, and you get to race in the simulator. Yeah. So you get to actually race the Baku circuit, the street circuit, which is very, very cool. So it's Baron Irini, James, back me up here. And then it's... What was the other
Tiger's Milk,
Appleton's Village in Randburg. That's the one. So those two places on Sunday, if you want to go watch, if you're living in Gauteng, go watch the race. Because like I said, you get to go into the thing. The main reason of doing that is that you can then win a chance to go to the Red Bull showrun. Red Bull showrun, 6th of October. That's going to be here in Sandton. And we've got some tickets to give away to this. And we've made it the easiest mechanic ever. Probably far too easy. But hey, we've already committed to it. If you want to be part of this whole thing, the Heineken 0.0 launch will be at the Red Bull showrun. It's going to be the place to be on that weekend. We're going to be there. You can join us there. If you just watch any of our episodes between now and then on YouTube, go into the comments and just say, hey, I want to join you guys at the Red Bull showrun. We've got 2x2 tickets, two pairs, and you can join us watching this. There'll be a Red Bull Formula One car racing around the streets that we sit in traffic in.
Yeah.
It's one of the greatest things that we can see.
It's going
to
be amazing.
You know, it'll be a while until we have a Grand Prix. So we've got this to look forward to. So just drop in your comments on the YouTube stream right here. I would like to join you guys in the Heineken 0.0 lounge at the Red Bull showrun. Simple as that. So, I mean, look, at Azerbaijan, it's such a great circuit, the Baku circuit, the street circuit, because you've got long stretches for the great fast cars. You got those intricate little corners of a street circuit for the more sort of technical thing. It is such an all-rounders track.
Yeah.
No surprise that Red Bull have been the best car for so long, the best track record there. What did surprise me ever so slightly is that the person who's won the most times in Baku is, guesses? Quick guesses, guys.
Lewis?
David Coulthard.
Sergio Perez.
Wow.
Checo
Perez. You can't get a podium. He is like the Don of Baku.
Really?
Yeah. If you actually want to Google Don of Baku, you'll get some great pictures of some very handsome men. But that's a very different story for right now. So I'm pretty excited about this race. There's a great one on the screen
That's the Don of Baku.
Don right there. So guys, I mean, obviously, Perez has been the best. If you look at the last three races, right? Perez, Verstappen, Perez. So great for Red Bull. McLaren, if you do play the fantasy Formula One, okay, it's not a great thing to get into on sport. Whether you play fantasy football, fantasy Formula One, in the last four races, just on fantasy points, McLaren's at 305.
Jesus.
Ferrari's next on 218. Then it's Red Bull on 208, and Mercedes on 171. So these oaks have been dominant. Piastri and Lando have been dominant.
They're going for it.
Such a good car, and this is an all-rounders kind of track. As I said, straight line speed's needed, but you need to get around these little intricate street things.
Yeah.
Charles Leclerc is my dark horse for this weekend because he got a pole in 2023, pole position, not an escort. Yeah. Engine failure in 2022 when he was leading, and then he finished fourth the year before that. He's just come off an amazing run at Monza.
Yep.
Ferrari just had all these different upgrades. The car's looking solid. It's looking good.
Yeah. I got, you know, and there's something about McLaren this year that's been absolutely sensational. I think it's either going to be Lando or Piastri once again.
You reckon it's going to go that way, huh?
They're just driving with such confidence, and their team seems so aligned. Their strategy seems so aligned. So I've got them coming in, you know, one or three, you know, the two. I can't pick between them, you know. They're just skill-wise, they've been so great, you know. Strange that you said Checo been dominant at that course, because Checo can't even dominate anything.
Right now, he's just trying to get into the final round of qualifying.
Yeah, you know.
But you know, another thing about McLaren is that their goal is very clear. Yeah. They basically have to win every race to catch Max's buffer.
Yeah.
So it's not like they go, well, we could pick this race or pick this race. They've got a very clear objective, which will often help.
Yeah.
I know in golf, like if you're really in the cuck and the only shot you can hit is a right to left around a tree, you got more chance of hitting a good shot if you've got four different options and you don't commit to any of them. These guys know they have to be in this and they have to win this.
Yeah, so I got those two. And yeah, it's going to be super exciting. Once again, as we've been discussing throughout the whole Formula One season, is that this is the season where it's super exciting again. We don't have Max dominating throughout. We don't have Red Bull, you know, outward right, you know, the winners of constructors. And I want to see how Red Bull going to bounce back, because it's a real challenge. They have to bounce back. And they have to look Checo in the eye and say, give us something, brother.
So what you're saying is Azerbaijan, the Baku circuit, the Southampton of races for them?
Yep. And wow. I hate the fact that you're going to land it like that.
Like
that
one,
we've got to win it. Deeper. You know, Red, that's a great bar. Those are bars. Those are fucking bars. So they've got to bounce back, like, you know, Man United against Southampton.
Real quick spanner in the works for you guys. So the last...
Oh, nice technical term.
Wow. I didn't even plan that.
Yeah, shut up.
So the last sort of 3 years at Azerbaijan, the pole sitters ahead of the race have been Charles Leclerc. You guys haven't mentioned Ferrari much. They've obviously done quite a bit in qualifying for the Azerbaijan.
Well, I mentioned Charles Leclerc as my dark horse on recent form, and the fact that he didn't quite translate. So this is his time. But that's the thing. Ferrari found a way to fuck it up, though.
That's really what I was going
to
say.
It's the most bizarre thing.
We would love to back Ferrari if they could just back themselves, genuinely.
And the stats show, because winners have been Red Bull in those 3 years.
They blow it at any moment, and it's just all strategy, and they fuck their drivers the whole time.
You're saying that Charles Leclerc always gets a pole in Baku.
Wow.
Yeah. So, guys, another great thing this weekend. I mean, this show could have been super, super long this week. UFC 306 at the Sphere.
Break down the Sphere.
It's not the greatest card, UFC 306. It's often what happens is the UFC needs to create an event, and it's difficult to back the fighters to the ambition of the event. UFC 300 ended up being okay, but it could have been so much better. It's not an easy thing here. It's like when Formula One goes to Las Vegas to be at Las Vegas, you know that all the names are going to be there because they're racing a circuit.
Yeah.
You can't time a fighter to be at this thing.
Yeah.
So you never know what you're really going to get. We've got Sean O'Malley versus Merab Dvashvili. So that's a great fight. Okay. Yeah. I'll get into this more on the Gareth Cliff show tomorrow. We get more time to talk UFC.
I have to jump in. You said at the Sphere, that big circle thing.
Yes, it's going to be the first sporting event in the Sphere.
Wow.
Actually the draw card here. I mean, the fighters aside, Dana White has given a bit of a spiel about this being his love letter to the Mexican people. But I mean, it's like, it's in Vegas. It's sponsored by Riyadh, like Saudi Arabia people. There's a few Mexicans in the card. It's not like a completely Mexican kind of card. Yeah. But I also think like the Mexican card would have been great like a year ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, Alexa Gross is there. She's in the co-made event against Valentina Shevchenko. That'll be the third time they're fighting. I'm not entirely sure that's what the world needs. But the thing about the Sphere is that, so I think Dana White went to the U2 concert there. Maybe he was on mushrooms or he had a few more drinks than usual. And he had the time of his life. He's like, we bring in the UFC here. And to his credit, the UFC are always innovators in this kind of place. They want to do everything first. So it must cost an absolute mint to do that. The ticket prices are through the roof. And they've now, people have like not bought them. They're coming down a little bit. But if you know what watching the octagon is, it's equidistance of fans, 360 degrees. Okay. Whereas here in the Sphere, good rhyme. It's almost against the one side, the octagon.
That was great.
The octagon's right on one side. And then you are literally watching, like, you remember back when the IMAX first came to this country?
Yeah.
And we all watched fucking weird nature stuff.
Yeah.
But it was crazy because it was 8 floors of screen. That's what the Sphere is once you get in. So it's as much as a screen performance as actually watching the fighters. So what the UFC are saying is that their pay-per-view numbers are way up for this one because everybody wants to watch it on TV.
The theater, yeah.
I mean, obviously people will be there because they want to be at the Sphere. But inside, it's just the craziest kind of thing. So even if it's not the greatest card, I think this is going to be one of the most fascinating UFCs to watch. So this is the only little drawback, though. If any of these fighters pull out, it takes 12 days. How many do you reckon? We've got issues in the production system. It takes 12 days to render anything.
Jeez.
So because that screen is like a 16K
it's off of Vegas. So if a fighter pulls out, you can't exactly do a tail of the tape with someone else.
Just like,
it'll just be a blank screen.
Gee,
so everyone who's set, meant to be in this fight, in these fights,
has to
be in there. So there are something like 960-second videos they're going to play for the key fights, or 690-seconders. And if any of these fighters pull out, the production is fucked.
Oh, it's over.
It's going to be fucked.
I thought what happened on the GCS the other day was bad. That could be horrendous.
All right, guys, look, we need to take a slight little break. We need to regroup because we need to come back hard with our picks. There's been comments about Sandile being the new Drake of sport betting. We want to give him a chance to redeem himself. Yes. And I've got a different kind of bet this week, all with our friends from Superbets. Coming right back.
I get it.
All right, we got the big thumbs up from our man Flex in the studio. Shout out to the whole crew, actually. To the whole crew. And if you did notice the titles earlier on the Champions League, that is what you can enjoy every Monday on our social media. So Sid from our design team, she puts together these really great sort of carousels. So Monday starts your week with us as we inform you through those slides. And of course, the show every single Thursday. Tell all your friends, or maybe people you don't even like. Tell them.
Shout out.
This week on the Superbets calls, I'm doing something a little bit more unique. If you go onto the site, on the left-hand side, you'll see a thing saying price boost segment. And they've got a football segment within there where they've chosen 3 games, put price boosts on. So as you know, I'm backing Arsenal to beat Spurs this week. And there are a whole bunch of really, really cool markets to go for, whether it's corners, exact scores, goals, who scores first, last, halftime, full-time, whatever. So what I'm doing for my pick this week is I'm going for Arsenal to score first and for them to win. That gives me odds of 2.7. My hypothetical 100 gets a return of 270. I think that's quite a cool kind of option there because Arsenal are going to win and they're going to bring the heat from early. So that's my call for this week. It's pretty standard and decent odds on top of that.
Cool. I'm going to jump into my picks, guys, and please back me. I'm not the Drake of this, but Drake is a very great artist either way.
Artist, not sport better.
Liverpool to beat Forest, guys. And I hate to say that. James, I'm going to give you that one. Man United to beat Southampton. Arsenal to beat Spurs. Kaiser Chiefs to beat formerly Morocco Swallows Marumo Galacta. And Sundowns to beat Supersport in the 20 Dabe. Pirates to beat Chipa. My $100 will get you 2,138. And please back me, guys. I know I've had some howlers in the past 2 weeks, but back me.
I just don't think you should say, trust me or back me. I think you just got to go confident. You got to go through
this. We're going to do it.
You got to fight yourself through this rut here.
Oh, my goodness. And is this the graphic you guys put up? That's crazy.
I think that's meant to be for tomorrow's show. It just so happens that Drake's in the, Sandile, we can't always plan these things. Sometimes there's a few glitches in the matrix here. I'm very excited. As I said, I've put about 5 or 6 bets on Arsenal to do really well. So, yeah. I mean, but this is the perfect game, right? Like, you've got Southampton to come back. We've got
Southampton to do what?
To come back.
Oh, to win.
To come back.
Whereas beating Southampton.
Arsenal getting Spurs this week is the most perfect game to show the intent. The game against Brighton was disappointing. International break, even more disappointing to get some sort of head of steam. But this is the game.
So, just so the last thing I want to talk about Arsenal in terms of this game, they have a lot of issues because Odegaard is injured. And a lot of people came back from international break, fucked up at Arsenal. So, Arsenal are in a lot of trouble. We're going to see how strong they are in their team. But it's also Raheem the Dream might, you know, start in his first game, as everybody's been raving about.
Well, look, he was always destined to go to Arsenal. I think he should have been there 5 years ago.
Like an Alka, he's played for every single big team.
And Adebayor.
Don't make it sound cheap. Do not make it sound cheap.
What does it feel like?
When you say it like that. James, how are we looking at the comments there?
We have a couple. Something I missed during the... I'll make it fast. There was something I missed during the F1 chat that I wanted to bring up with you guys. Adrian Newey has joined Aston Martin as their chief technical racing director person. He was at Red Bull for a very long time. And when this news was announced, other pieces of news came out saying that... Aston Martin going to do anything for Max Verstappen to join the Aston Martin racing team? Your guys' thoughts?
It's such an interesting take how there has been some rumors around Max leaving. It's such a weird thing that, because how good how much better can they be? Max wants titles, right?
Yeah.
So the shortest point to a title is the best car.
Yeah.
Toto Wolff made a really cool comment a while back when he was just maybe dissing Lewis, to say he's more worried about losing mechanics and backroom people who actually put the cars together and the strategy than the actual drivers.
That's crazy.
So when you get senior people moving to other teams, you never know, huh? I don't know enough about the sports and the back dealings of that, Simon, but I think it's really good when they start moving around like this. And I think it's more interesting when you do get essentially transfers. Mm-hmm. This is what it is, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Aston Martin, it's a glamour name. They've had that Stroll guy whose dad pays the money.
Yeah,
and then they've had Alonso, who, despite his handsome good looks, I mean, he's over
but
the hill.
But his race is incredibly. It's going to make F1 more competitive, that's for sure. If Max goes there, he's not going to compete. You know, we already know that he's a serial winner, so he won't go to a team where he's going to have to build a brand.
Imagine if, like, they decide, let's take Checo instead, and then Aston Martin has Alonso and Checo in their team. That'd be good.
Checo can go anywhere. He can drive for, like, Crusader. I wouldn't give a shit. He's butchering Red Bull right now.
Back to the rugby, the world of rugby, guys. Yep. We have this from Simon also, actually. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I'm going to read that.
Yeah, that's what you'd be like.
Yeah, I mean, look, Simon agrees with me. I think that the All Black team isn't what it is, and I think it's great to have a heritage win over the All Blacks. And if the All Blacks, if SA joins the Six Nations, never going to happen. Surely the All Blacks and Aussies will slowly get even more shite. Yeah, well, just give them time. They'll do it themselves.
Yeah, they'll just tank it themselves.
But guys, I mean, as we said, they've got to show a level of maturity here and say, look, we're getting our overseas players.
Yep.
Simple as that. I mean, surely you can afford a business class flight.
I mean,
if not, then talk to people at Air New Zealand. Like, make a fucking plan. We're all adults here. You guys will not compete, and the Gulf will keep growing. So by the next World Cup comes around,
they're going to get spanked by Italy. That's my only thing.
Last, I have to end it on a good note, at least for Sandile.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
You do have support in the comments. I must tell you that much. It's not all doom and gloom.
Yeah, I don't trust you. So
Dylan thinks you're wearing the best football.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. We can actually end the show on that note before these people give me shit.
I mean, Dylan's technically incorrect. I think Arsenal's third jersey right now is one of the best.
So many delusional people in this world.
Thank you. Thank you, Dylan. Shout out.
Yeah, that's all for all the comments from my side, Dad.
Sweet. Thank you.
All right. Well, guys, that was it. Episode 14. But yeah, get involved here. The Red Bull showrun is going to be the most amazing thing to go to. And being at the Heineken Zero Lounge with us is going to be like a real highlight.
Yeah.
Because it's not one of those events you've ever kind of been to before. That's why we're so excited about that. Otherwise, look, rugby's back next week, which is funny because I'm not back next week. I'm going to be away. I'm going to be in Bulgaria next week. Not sport related, but I'll see how it goes. And we got a special guest coming in to be sitting in the hot seat. Sandile will be hosting the show.
I got to get him monologue right.
And I, for one, I'm excited to watch. I'm excited to take an international break, which is what I'm doing.
Shout out to you.
And it'll be episode 15, which we'll be back with you. But yeah, like, subscribe, share with your friends, and we'll catch you back next week. Well, I won't, but they will.
Is that us? Awesome?